Christianity. Now, every religion has their extremes. Lots of times you'll think of different religions, and that's what sticks out in your mind are the extremes. You know, a lot of people, when you talk about the Muslims, they think of the extreme terrorists and, want to judge all of that by this extreme group. And when in fact, 90% of them are not that way. You know, you can look at Christianity and see extreme groups within Christianity. And lots of times people outside will judge Christianity based on this one extreme group when it's only like 90% of them. I mean, 10% of them that are like that. And, 90% are normal, I say normal. I don't know what 90% that is, but anyway, and there's always extremes in every religion and everything that goes on. And it's sad that, people from the outside judge based on the extremes, because those are usually ones that are the loudest and the most action. And it's very sad that happens. And so what I kind of want to do with this series over the next 3 weeks is talk about some of the extreme teachings that we hear in Christianity. And now I'm not going to be up here, bashing other preachers and stuff. And that's not what we do. Because I know that, first of all, that God can use anybody. And that God does use imperfect people. Thank goodness, right? And so I'm not up here to bash anybody. That's not what I want to do. But I want to look into some of the extreme teachings in Christianity and kind of reveal some of that things. And the whole point of it is that usually in an extreme teaching, there is a nugget of truth in there. And that's what it's based on, is there's a nugget of truth and it gets blown out of proportion. And it becomes an extreme and it becomes an excess that people look at and you're just like, that's just weird. What in the world? I mean, how do these people get this stuff? But yet, there's a nugget of truth in there. But what we like to do lots of times is take the whole thing, like, man, that's extreme, and just throw it all out. And we throw the nugget of truth out with it. And we miss out on what God is trying to do. And we don't want to do that. Because God is wanting to work in our lives. He's wanting to do some things in our lives. And if we throw out everything that's extreme about Christianity, we're going to be left with a very weak version of what Christ came and died for. And so that's what we kind of want to look at the next 3 weeks is, what are some of these extreme teachings? And let's bring it back to the truth of God's Word. And that's where everything in our life needs to be based, is on the truth of God's Word. And kind of our key scripture that we're using in this series is found in 2 Timothy 2. Verse 15 and 16. And I forgot to give them the scriptures, and so I'm a slacker this week. And so hopefully you brought your Bibles or your iPhones or something, you can look them up. 2 Timothy 2, 15, it says, "Work hard so that you can present yourself to God and receive His approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly explains the word of truth, avoiding worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior." And that's kind of what happens, is that people have gotten away from the word of truth and they've gotten into worthless and foolish talk that basically leads people off. And see, what happens when we get into an extreme, people get hurt. When we get into an extreme, people get hurt. Because, there's lots of great leaders out there that people are willing to follow, but they're following, they're leading them in the wrong direction. And that can only lead to hurt. And there's so many people that have gone to church and they've heard this wrong teaching, this extreme teaching, and they're hurt and they've walked away from their faith. And that's very sad that happens. But when we get away from the truth of God's Word, it only hurts people. And so in all of these things, we have got to take the truth and find out what it is. But before we get into the first thing that the first one that we're going to talk about, I want to kind of talk for a second about what causes extremes. How do people get off? Because most of these people who are extreme in some of their teaching, began on a biblical basis, on a truth of God's word, but then somehow got off. You know, they had good intentions, but it just got off somehow. So how do we get to these extremes? I'm going to give you kind of three things, and you know, it could be a lot more than this. And this is based off of people who are truly good-hearted and want to lead in the right direction. You have some people that are just malicious and, you know, purposely trying to deceive people. And we're not talking about those people right now, but how do we get from the truth of God's word into an extreme? Number one is through ignorance. And ignorance isn't a bad word. It just means that you don't know. You don't know something. And so lots of times we get into an extreme, or we get led from the truth because we don't know. We don't understand the Bible well enough to know that it is an extreme, to know that the teaching is off a little bit. And so that's why it's so important that we get the Word of God into our hearts and our lives. It's so important that we're in the Word of God daily, studying and learning. And kind of another side to that is laziness, ignorance and laziness, because there's some people that they don't know, and so they ask a lot of people questions. You know, they'll go and say, "Hey, pastor, you know, what do you think about this? What do you think the scripture says?" And gets their opinion. And they go ask someone else they know that knows the Bible, and they ask their opinion, and they get a bunch of opinions, and then they base their opinion on everybody else's opinion. And how many of you know that that's going to lead you astray? That's going to lead you off from God's truth, because we all have opinions about stuff, and when you base your opinion off someone else's opinion, then it's just bad. You know, lots of times people say, "Well, I heard this person say once, I heard this preacher say this," and they believe it as truth and never go check it out for themselves. And lots of times ignorance and laziness leads to extremes because people aren't willing to take the time to get into the Word of God and know for themselves exactly what it is. The second one, I could really dive into this one and teach a hermeneutics class real quick. How many of y'all know what hermeneutics is? Any hermeneutics people? We got one person who knows what hermeneutics is. Hermeneutics is Bible interpretation. It's the fancy preacher word for Bible interpretation. And so what happens lots of times is to get into extremes, someone takes a scripture out of context and makes it say something that it doesn't really say. And this is very easy to do, because I can actually take you to a scripture and show you that it's okay to murder somebody. I could prove it to you by scripture, but I would be wrong. We know God's word says, "Thou shalt not murder." You know, and so, but that's the thing with the Word of God. You can prove lots of things by the Word of God, but it's not right, because you've taken it out of context. When you're reading a scripture, you need to read what he's talking about before and after the scripture. You need to see how that scripture plays out in the whole book that you're reading. Like if you're reading in the book of Ephesians, you know, how does this fit within everything that he's talking about? And another way that we got to be careful is that we need to look to where it talks about it in other parts of the Bible. You know, the Bible talks about that we need to prove everything by two or three witnesses. I never base a belief of mine off of one single scripture. Never do I do that, because I could misinterpret that scripture and get into an extreme or get off. If I can't find it talking about in two or three different places in the Bible, then I'm not going to base a belief on that. It'll be one of those things where it's my opinion because of this scripture, but I can't prove it. And so I try to be very careful of how I form my beliefs, to make sure that it's not just one scripture and one isolated incident, but that we take in the whole counsel of the Word of God and make sure that that thought lines up with the rest of what God is talking about in His Word. Now, that was a very brief summary of hermeneutics right there. Okay? So lots of times we take something out of context and make it say it's something that it doesn't need to. And the last one is, lots of times we will take our experience and put higher authority on our experience than we do God's Word. And none of us will admit that we do this, but we do it all the time. That something happens to us in life, and we're just like, "What in the world, God? What's going on here?" And we'll go to the Word of God and we'll find some stuff, and we'll bend the Word of God around our experience to explain it. And it's very scary when you do that, because all of a sudden, what you experienced takes precedence over the Word of God. And what I experience and what you experience are completely different things. It's amazing how, you know, two people see a wreck happen and you have three stories. You know, there are actually four stories because there's two people in a wreck. You know, everybody sees the same event happen, but there's four different interpretations of that one thing. And so we got to be careful not to bend the Word of God around our experiences. But what we need to do is view our experiences through the lens of the Word of God. We need to take the Word of God and look at our experiences through it and interpret our experiences by God's Word, and not interpret God's Word by our experience. Y'all see the difference? That's one reason that we have extremes in Christianity, because people take their experience and exalt it over the Word of God. And that'll get you off every single time. So today let's talk about the first extreme. Let me tell you what the three we're going to talk about over the next 3 weeks are. And I know I heard from God on this because they all start with the same letter. Okay? Now, you know, God speaks to preachers and it's always the same letter, or it's an acronym, or has a really cool saying. You know, that's just how God speaks to preachers, okay? He might not talk to you that way, but... So anyway, the three that we want to talk about are miracles, manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and money. Those sound like three really great topics, don't they? We're going to dive into these three topics and look into God's Word and base what we believe on that and not what we hear taught out here. Because, you know, there's lots of good teachings out there about all three of them. And there's some really bad teachings out there about all three of them. But see, the way we find the truth is we bring it back to God's Word. What does the Bible say about that? And that's how we need to live our lives. That's how we need to run our church. That's how we need to do everything, is revolving around God's Word. I don't care what you say about the Bible. I'm going to look it up for myself. And hopefully you're right and I can agree with you. But if I disagree, if I find it different in the Word of God than what you said, I'm going to believe the Word of God over you. Because God's Word is truth. And so that's what we want to do, is look into God's Word about these particular issues and bring them in line with God's Word and see what the truth is in these. Because there's some great truths in all three of these topics. But what happens is lots of times we'll throw away the whole thing because it got extreme. Someone did something weird, and I don't want to be a part of weird, and so I'm just going to ignore that part of the Bible. You know, I'm going to ignore that and not. And you know, money is one of those big things that has been abused by a lot of preachers and a lot of churches, and it's so sad because there is an element of truth that God teaches in the Bible about how to deal with money and how to view money. But lots of times, you know, when you say money in church, people just start kind of squirming a little bit. And I still do that. You know, when I go to a church and someone starts talking about money, I'm just like, oh, what's he going to say? Oh, you know, and it's just one of those things. And so we want to get to the truth of it, because there is an awesome thing that God wants to do in our finances. And that you don't have to give a $5 offering today to get a $10 blessing. And you don't have to buy my oil and it'll... Yeah. I mean, there's some weird stuff out there. And we've all seen it. We've all heard it. And we want to get to the truth of God's Word. What is God really trying to say about this subject? So today we're going to talk about miracles. Miracles. And there's actually two extremes in miracles. All right, there's this one extreme way over here that says, there's no such thing as a miracle. We can explain everything. I mean, everything is, it's, you know, there's a purpose in everything, and you know, God has nothing to do with it. All right, there's lots of people that say that, you know, God created everything, and he set it in motion. Now he's sitting up in heaven, and he took his hands off, and he's just letting it play out. And God has no contact with humans, and he doesn't have anything to do with this. He's just going to see how it works. And so there's no miracles. God doesn't intervene in our lives in any way. And there's this other extreme way over here that says, it's all about miracles. I'm going to depend on God for everything. And I'm not going to trust anybody. I'm going to depend completely on Him. I'm not going to go see a doctor. I'm not going to take counsel from anybody. I'm just going to completely depend on Him. And they don't work. And they don't do anything but trust God. So they're sitting on their couch trusting God, going broke. Or already broke or whatever. And so there's this extreme over here to where, you know, it's all about God and humans are worthless and I don't trust them. And so it's all God. You know, and so somewhere in the middle, there is a truth to these extremes. You know, even you see in the New Testament when Jesus is around, you know, on this extreme, you had the Sadducees. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in anything. They just believed in going to church, you know, and reading. And that's all they believed in. And that's what they did. And their lives were empty because they didn't believe anything, you know. And so we've always had these extremes going on where it comes to miracles. But if you believe the Bible at all, there's no way that you can believe that there's no such thing as miracles. There's absolutely no way you can believe that. I mean, you look at Adam and Sarah. He was 100 years old. She was 90. They had a baby. That's a miracle. All right. You look, you know, in the book of Exodus, you know, children of Israel are enslaved in Egypt. I mean, they're getting beat every day and they're just working themselves to death. One day they're slaves. The next day they're one of the richest nations on the face of the earth. Overnight, it's a miracle. Only God can do that. See, a miracle is God doing something for us that nobody else can do. It's defined as a divine intervention, but it's basically God doing something for us that wouldn't happen otherwise. Nobody can do it. We can't do it. Nobody can do it for us. It's God doing it. And God is still in the miracle business. You look in the New Testament, you look at the life of Jesus, miracle after miracle after miracle, healings, casting out devils. I mean, He's doing all this stuff and changing people's lives and just doing miracles. Same thing today. Some people say, well, all that passed away. It's all done away with. Well, when did that happen? I didn't see a verse that told me that it was passed away. I didn't see anywhere, you know. You know, God's still the same God. He's still the same miracle-working God. So God still does miracles. See, John 14, we see an interesting story. And I love reading the Gospels. I love it because the disciples make me feel so good about myself. Anybody ever read the... you know, usually it's Peter. You know, he does something stupid. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Just, you know. This time it was Philip. And, you know, Jesus had to get frustrated with these guys. You know he did because, I mean, he was with them day after day for 3 years. I mean, these guys hung out with them. They ate together. They did everything together. They were always there. And Jesus was teaching them. I mean, you can imagine God Himself teaching you for 3 years. I mean, you think you'd, you know, get some stuff together. Well, in this particular instance, you know, they're sitting around and Philip looks at Jesus. Jesus, will you show us the Father? And Jesus has one of those moments. Philip, how many times do I have to tell you? Now, this is exaggerated, you know. You know, Philip, how many times do I have to tell you? You know that me and the Father are one. Everything that I do, I see the Father do. And anything that I say, the Father says. And, you know, we are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you know me, you know the Father. We're the same. Don't you get that? We're the same. And so, you know, he's having one of these moments. And I love what he said. Of course, you know, Jesus is always full of grace. And he says this to the disciples, right? I mean, just right after he said that, he said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me anything in my name, and I will do it. I mean, just the grace in that. He was saying, you've seen everything that I've done. He says, you're going to be doing the same things, and even bigger things than what I've done, you're going to be doing. because you have the Father in you as well. You're going to be, miracles should still be happening today, every day in our lives. Every single day, because the same Spirit that was in Jesus is living in us today. The same one. He's still the same miracle working God. Miracles are still happening today. How many of y'all have ever experienced a miracle in your life, seen a miracle in your life, know someone who's experienced a miracle in your life? Lots of people. I mean, God is still doing. I've experienced miracles in my life. God's healed my body. God's done some amazing things for me. He is a miracle working God. The Bible even says that it's a miracle every time someone gets saved. Because us as fallen human beings, we cannot approach God. We don't even have a desire to approach Him in any way. It's only when God reaches down to us that we get saved. It's by Him drawing us to Himself that we get saved. We see that in Luke 15. It says, all of heaven rejoices when one person gets saved, when one sinner repents. All of heaven rejoices. It's a big party up there. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, this shows the miracle. It says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. The new has begun. We become something completely different. One translation said, you're a brand new creation. You're a brand new creature. You're something brand new. It's new life. It's a miracle that has happened in you because something on the inside of you has changed immediately. And God has done something in your life. And it's a miracle that has taken place. Every time someone gets saved, a miracle happens. We've all witnessed miracles. Miracles still happen. So what are some of the extremes in this? Because, you know, I've been around a long time and I've seen lots of crazy stuff in the name of Jesus and the name of the Holy Spirit. And you know, it just sometimes you just sit there and shake your head and think, how in the world did you get from here to there? You know, and I could talk about a lot of stuff within this, but I just want to talk about one thing in particular. One of the extremes that has been around is one that says that you can have whatever you say. And they so nicely phrased it, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it. All right, most of y'all have heard of this. And the thing about it is there is a nugget of truth in that message. But they have taken it to an extreme to where it's beginning to hurt people. And it's off of the Word of God. And bad things are beginning to happen in the name of this. And they claim it as gospel. And because the element of truth in this, and Pastor talked about it 2 weeks ago, is that there is power in the tongue. There's power in our words. The words that we speak hold power. And the other truth in this is that when we confess God's word, things begin to happen. It gives God something to work with. And so that is the truth within this message that has hurt so many people. And is that, you know, our words have power. And that we can confess, we can speak things into our lives, we can speak God's word, and God can begin to work in our lives and perform that in our lives. And so what the extreme has been, and we can find scripture to prove this too, in fact, I just read one, is that you can speak anything you want and you can have it. I could become a motivational speaker today and say, if you can just dream it, then you can have it. You can say it with your words and it'll come forth in your life. And man, we can get down on it. Let me tell you, we can get motivated and we can dance in the aisles. And, you know, people will go out and spend all their money and blow their life savings and be worse off than they were. And see, when we just read the scripture a while ago in John 14, Jesus said, you can ask anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me anything in my name and it's yours. You know, we could take that scripture and we can go crazy. Man, I saw a Toyota pickup yesterday that I absolutely love. I told my wife, I said, I love that truck right there. And she said, it loves you too. And I said, glory to Jesus. I claim it. It's mine. What? I remember in Bible school, we had guys, they'd see this beautiful woman across the room. Man, I claim her in the name of Jesus. She is going to be my wife. Had me four babies. Gonna be beautiful. You know, and you're just like, where are you getting this stuff from? And they take what it is, they're taking scripture out of context. The truth of the matter is that yes, our words have power. Yes, we can confess things in our lives, but what do we confess? God's word. God's word is the truth. God's word is powerful. God's word. God always performs his word. See, here's where the power of the message is that we speak God's word over our life. Because God's word is God's will. Let me say that again. God's word is God's will. If his word says it, he wants to do it. He wouldn't have said it otherwise. He wants to us to live victorious life. He wants us to live good lives. He wants us to have healing in our body. He wants us to have strong minds. He wants us to be able to do all things through him. These are the things he wants, otherwise he wouldn't have said it. And so if we can begin to speak God's word over our lives, things will begin to change. I can claim that Toyota Tundra till the day I die. And God may not ever move. Now, I'm not saying that you can't pray for things that you want. There's been times in my life that there's been something that I've wanted. And, you know, it was just one of those, it was a thing. You know, I said, God, you know, God, I really love this thing and I'd love to have one. God, if you bless me with that, man, I'd be ecstatic, you know. And I prayed prayers like that and God's given me those, some things like that. But there's no guarantee on those prayers. When you pray God's word, there's a guarantee. Because he always performs his word. There's a guarantee on his word. And so, you know, there's where the extreme is. People got off into some lots of crazy stuff, claiming things and claiming airplanes and just, I mean, just and crazy. And people have blown their life savings on things and people have, it's ruined people's lives. And so lots of people want to say, well, that name it, claim it stuff, oh, that's bad. Let's just get rid of it all. And they never speak God's truth over their life. And their life never changes. They stay in the same hole that they've always been in. They've stayed in the same junk. They've stayed sick all of their lives because they've never claimed God's word over their lives. There is truth in that. And just kind of real quick, I want to just share some scripture with you. And just to see how powerful this truly is. You know, I've just taken the topic of healing because I believe that, you know, according to God's word, I read it in God's word and I believe it, that God truly wants to bring healing to our bodies. He wants to bring healing to our lives, to our emotions, to our minds, that God can heal. He's still in the healing business and he wants to heal us. He wants us to be whole. He wants us to be well. And we're going to read some scriptures that say this. And I believe that if we can begin to speak these scriptures over our bodies, over our situations, God wants to restore marriages. God wants to restore relationships with kids and parents. He wants to restore things to you. He wants that for you. But lots of times we don't get it because we don't get into God's word. We don't claim his word as truth. And we never speak that out into our lives. Just look at how we got saved. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe it in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then we will be saved. Speaking with the mouth, believing with the heart. That is the key. We speak God's word with our mouth and we truly believe it in our hearts. And God does the work. That's how it works. And so, I'm just going to start reading some scriptures about healing. And I just want you to see the power of God's word. There might be someone in here that needs healing today, whether it be a physical healing, whether it be whatever. I want you to open your heart right now and listen to God's word and see what he says about this. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Yet it was our weaknesses that he carried, and it was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were punishment from God, a punishment for his own sin. But he was pierced for our rebellion. He was crushed for our sin. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. Psalms 107, 20. He sent his word and he healed them, snatching them from the door of death. Psalms 103, 1 through 5. Let all that I am praise the Lord. With all of my heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I not forget the good things that he does for me. He forgives my sins. He heals my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercy. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. Proverbs 4, 20 and 22. My child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they will bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. James 5, 14 and 15. Are you sick? You should call for the elder of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make him well. And if you've committed any sin, you will be forgiven. God's word is powerful. When we speak God's word, things begin to happen. I can speak a lot of stuff over my life that'll fall flat if it's not God's word. See, lots of times when we start speaking things like that over in our lives, it's usually because of selfish motives. The Bible says we ask amiss. We ask in wrong motives. And see, let me tell you something. God can't be manipulated. You can't trick God into giving you something for your own pleasures. God is not a vending machine. You just put your prayer in there, turn the thing, and there it comes. God's not a short order cook that you can just say whatever and he does it. See, God lives by his word. If we speak his word in our lives, he listens. He hears us. And we know if he hears us, we know that he's in action, performing his word in our lives. See, there is the truth of God's word. Well, I prayed for somebody and they didn't get healed. I have too. Does that mean the Bible doesn't work? Does that mean God's word is wrong? No. That's me putting experience over God's word. See, there's lots of factors in this that I don't understand them all. If I did, you know, I would be in heaven right now if I understood everything about God. But I don't, and I don't understand it all. I remember in college, we were excited about God. We were full of faith, and we were eating at Perkins. Perkins was our place to eat in college. It was one of the few places that was open late, because in college you just stay awake all hours of the night. Anyways, we always went to Perkins, and we got to know the waitresses there and stuff. And we were talking to one of the waitresses one time, and I can't remember exactly the situation. I don't know if there was a car wreck or if someone had cancer or something like that. But anyway, you know, we got together and we prayed. God, you know, we just prayed God's healing over this person, and we spoke God's word over it, and we were just confident, you know, that everything was going to work out right. And we went back the next time and asked her about it, and said, well, she died. And that was a crushing blow to our faith. We're like, God, what in the world? We prayed your word. We believed. We did everything right. What's the deal? He said, you weren't praying for yourself. You were praying for somebody else. He says, you don't have that kind of authority in their life. He said, that was something on them, not on you. So don't let that hurt your faith. And so, you know, there's lots of factors. And so just because you pray something and something doesn't work doesn't mean that God's word isn't true. Because God always performs his word. That's why it's so important to speak it over your life. So important to speak it over your kids, over your marriage. because that's where you have authority. That's where you have jurisdiction, is in your life, in your marriage, and over your kids. You should be speaking the Word of God over your kids every single day. That's one thing that me and Miranda have started doing. Ella's been having trouble sleeping and, you know, having some nightmares and stuff. And so we just started praying God's Word over them. You will have sound sleep. It says you have a strong mind. You have the mind of Christ. That no evil is going to come near our dwelling. And we began to speak God's Word over her. And it's amazing to see God at work in that. And that's what it's about, guys. We don't throw it out because of some extreme that you've heard. But let's stand on the truth of God's Word. Let's speak it in our lives and allow God to work. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you. God, thank you for your Word. Thank you for the truth of your Word, God, knowing that when we stand firm on your Word, God, that we'll never be ashamed. God, that you are just waiting for us to speak the words and believe it in our heart, God, so that you can go to work in our lives. God, I just pray that we get into your Word, God, that you just stir a passion in our hearts for your Word, God, and when we face a situation, God, that we don't go into panic mode and think, oh God, what's going on, but we go into study mode, get into your Word, find scriptures that talks about whatever it is we're facing, God, and stand firm on those things. God, that we can be confident in you. God, that we can take control of life through your Word. God, and we don't have to be pushed around and just whatever happens, happens, God, but we can stand firm on you and your Word. God, thank you, Lord, that you just help us to understand what that means in our own lives. God, just thank you as we leave here today, God, that we're going in your strength. God, we're going in your grace. God, use this week to bring life to somebody else. God, we love you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you so much for coming out today. You're dismissed.